Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Routes, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between rural and urban America. Hank Vogler helping getting that done every Monday from White Pine County, Nevada, which is just close to Elko.
Well, out here, everything is close. Providing you're willing to drive a long ways. Yes.
I was referencing close to Elko in the fact that you now are part of a county that has designated itself as a constitutional county, but you've not taken the next step to tell the governor, stick your mask mandate. We're going to let the people of our county decide, which Elko County did. Kudos.
Well, I don't think that, you know, when you think about the people that died of the flu, oh, by the way, nobody's died of the flu in 2 years, you know.
Yeah.
I think you could go to the hospital with a steel post sticking out of your chest, and they'd say, yeah, looks like COVID.
You can. That's documented. It's clearly documented. It's happening. Although I don't believe steel post sticking out of chest is a common occurrence at the emergency room. It happens, but I don't think it's common.
No, but nonetheless, there is no such thing except COVID. However, and I'm not taking up the other side of the argument, I assume my system had been compromised over the years, but I also think I got it when it first came out, as I spent my 7 or 8, 10 days and another 2 weeks recovering, and was very sick.
I remember.
That I didn't give it to anybody else.
I remember.
Yes. So I didn't go get tested. But this is a new industry. This is no different than fire in the West. Mm-hmm. You know, you screw up for 40 years by not managing your forest, by not grazing and logging and doing all the things and taking care of natural resources. You get the crisis. It happens. Well, the same thing is now the cottage industry of the growth industry in the West and everywhere. Let me tell you about this little story. Boys going back to Peru, a fine gentleman, a hardworking kid. His time's up. He's got to go home. His visa will expire. He stays to the last minute because he's helping his family in Peru. So we call up, get him an airline ticket out of lost wages. First thing that happens, well, he's got to go get a negative COVID test. I said, well, he opted to take the Pfizer deal. He's had both shots, and he has a certificate in his pocket. No matter. Got to take this test. And not just your garden variety test, but it's got to be a special test. And the only place, as you said, in Elko, couldn't get it there, couldn't get it in downtown Eli, could get it in Reno or Lost Wages. So we set up an appointment last Wednesday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We jumped in the buggy and went all the way to Lost Wages, got there perfect time, everything, da-da-da-da-da. Hispanic writing. You say, you don't say United States, you say Estados Unidos. And on their visas, which are put together for Hispanics, the birth date says the day, then the month, then the year. In America, it is the month, the day, and the year. So we provide all this information. He's got has to have this within 72 hours of getting on the big jet airplane. So we call up because everything's got to be done on the computer. No exception. We had our username, our password. We had everything. So it says this test takes up to 2 days to get the results back. So it's Friday. He's supposed to get on the airplane that night. And we get on the computer, put in all the buzzwords, do everything. And it says the next to get to the next level, date of birth. We put 4 April. 10, the day, 1993, kicks it out. put it in again, put it in five times. Then the computer tells us, you can't do this anymore because you're obviously not the people we're supposed to be talking to. So we start making phone calls. 5 hours, Trent, 5 hours of absolute grueling, you know. And at the end, we did find a nice gentleman that helped us greatly. And finally, we found out he passed his COVID test. And we had him on speakerphone. I said, you're really lucky you don't have COVID. But the test, I was telling him in Spanish to Sebastian, I said, but the problem is you've got gonorrhea, syphilis, AIDS, and leprosy. So, I mean, it was just nuts.
Yeah.
Absolutely off the wall crazy. 5 hours. Get that done. Take him to the airport. 2.5 hours of filling out papers at the airport. It's a cottage industry now. We're stuck with it forever.
Oh, I know. You know, we had to get a negative test to fly out of. We didn't have to get a negative test to fly into Mexico for Libby's wedding 3 weeks ago. But we had to get a negative test to come home.
Just had to get.
And it took half a day. Just because there was a special spot at this hotel where she got married that you had to go to, and it was just an assembly line. They were sticking swabs in people's nose, put them in a little container, and 2 hours later, we got an email saying, you're free to fly. Hank, there's
make sure you put your birthday down right.
There is no way. You cannot convince me that those samples left that room or went through a lab or a test. And it's a good thing, because here's the other part that we know that there's a 94% inaccuracy in the PCR rapid test, mostly because they built this virus from existing viruses. So it tests positive to the common cold or flu or anything else, because that's how they built it. It's all just, you're all right. It's just a cottage industry to pilfer money from people. And I won't stop there. I fully now see the evidence that it's about population control as well.
You got it. Whatever it is, it's and listen to this. A good friend of mine in Utah, he's down with the COVID, didn't get the shot. The guy that brokered the lambs in Montana, he's down in the hospital with the COVID. My dear friend Jack Joyce in Eastern Oregon, he fought it and fought it and fought it, and he even tried the ivermectin and all self injections, did everything in the world to keep from, and he got it. He's in the hospital in Boise, Idaho. I've lost two friends that have died of it, but I still believe that pretty near every one of them had a complication or poor luck. But you can have poor luck to get the common cold. You can have poor luck to get flu. All this, but yeah, me and two friends are going to Loreto in December. And same thing. We have to stay there after our hunt is over with. We have to stay there for two more days.
Where are you going?
To get the COVID negative test. Loreto, Baja California.
Oh, that's where I just left.
Carmen Island.
That's where I just left.
You went to San Juan Camblu, to Loreto?
Well, you
went to Cabo San Lucas.
Cabo San Lucas, but we flew in that pretty close to that, I think, because you don't fly.
Well, we're
into
close to the Carmen Island.
Yeah,
we're going hunting on the Carmen Island for desert bighorn sheep, because my friend can't get one in the United States because you have to draw the tag. And unless you got $300,000 to buy the governor's tag, you get three of the four to get the Grand Slam. Mm-hmm. It's a bucket list deal for him. And so I'm his gun bearer.
So I find this really fascinating that somebody wants the Grand Slam bad enough to leave the country now at this time.
Can't get one in the United States.
I understand, but you might not be able to get back to tell anybody you got a Grand Slam.
I already got the Grand Slam.
No.
I drew a tag in Nevada.
I know you did.
But he doesn't. And it's eating on him like a cancer. And yeah. I and yet you can't believe what this thing costs. But it's
I got it.
It's a disease.
All right, let's talk about opportunities instead of diseases. A healthy alternative for beef production. I did not just say that the regular beef production is not healthy. I'm just saying healthy in terms of getting paid properly for the product that you produce. That is the certified Piedmontese system. Fresh off the Nebraska State Fair from yesterday, I had several conversations about what is going on in the Great Plains of America with this certified Piedmontese system. And it is certainly an opportunity for those cattlemen that choose to get paid properly. $180 over market price. At weaning, that's 600 pounds. Excuse me. You have to go 6 weeks. You hold those calves for 6 weeks, get them ready, and then Lone Creek buys them back. We'll get details at LoneCreekCattleCo.com. More Hank Vogler and no more sheep hunting stories after this. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Luce alongside Hank Vogler. As bad as an idea as I thought it was, and Libby just really got irritated at her father for telling her that it's stupid to leave the country to get married, I think this one ranks right up there, going to get your sheep, your fourth in the Grand Slam sheep. I understand wanting to complete this, but this just might not be the year to do it. When are you going?
Well, December 5th through December, and we can't come back for 2 days after the hunt because we have to go get the COVID test. And this, evidently this airport is not, there's not a lot of airlines coming in and out of it. So there's only, I think, one or two flights a day. And then we got to get on a boat and go to an island, and then we stay on the island, and then we go around on the island until we find a sheep with the proper age grouping, because they're managing their sheep. Can you imagine that?
No,
I cannot. The state of Nevada is all they're trying to do is run the sheep guys out of the business. They don't manage their animals. They people willing to give hundreds of thousands of dollars to go hunt this animal, and they feed them to the mountain lions. We have the most expensive cat food in the United States of America. We didn't start this program of hunting these animals until I was over 50 years of age. Well, actually, we were all 50. We didn't go until the next year. We were in elk camp, been hunting since 1965. And George had luckily drawn a tag for the Rocky Mountain, or California, in Oregon. And he said, you know, this, I would love to do some more of this. This was such a wonderful adventure. What do you guys want to do? And I said, well, I don't want to be in a wheelchair race in some nursing home. Let's do it. But I'll go if you go. So that became our bucket list. So we went to Canada. We got the white one, the doll, in the Northwest Territory. Okay, great. Now we got two. Well, that only led to, well, let's get three. In the meantime, I go, you know what? There's no use me putting in down around Lake Mead where they have the genetic predisposition to grow monster horns. I found a couple of units in Nevada that were not notorious for having giant horns, but they were just as much a desert bighorn as anybody else. So I thought, well, you know what? At my age, I'll never live long enough to draw, because the odds of drawing down there was just horrific. Mm-hmm. I got one the second year I put in. So now I'm ahead of everybody. I've got the one that nobody can get, the one that everybody that's in the hunting world would do anything. But all the game commission seem to possess is the blame it on domestic sheep. While the they have a picture in Nevada of five mountain lions drinking on a wildlife guzzler, five of them. And the guy that took the picture, because he had, for some reason, a game camera on there, started putting it out, and the game commission got on his case and said, don't you show that to anybody. What? I mean, for gosh sakes, but boy, everything, we got to buy all the sheep guys out. We got to destroy. I lost a permit in Elko County over this very fact. I can no longer take my sheep there because some conservancy outfit bought the ranch And the next year, oh, we're not going to have any sheep in here anymore. We've got to protect the wild sheep. Well, oh, well, gracious. I've been there for 10 years running, and do you know of any die-offs that you can pin on me? No. I mean, it's just another cottage industry. That's what we do.
You just keep building them.
We get a program.
Yeah, we just keep building them.
And yeah. And we have a Republican Party that want to play croquet and badminton and canasta and sit around and talk about Biff and Buffy and the, you know, Brad. I mean, what a bunch of crap. We need street fighters. The Democrats figured it out. And they're the most racist bunch of people in the world pushing racist ideas and winning. Because everybody, it's a great tagline, racist, bingo, everybody runs for this. It's the same way with the word environment. Oh, you want to change the NEPA? You want to have dirty water and dirty air and pollution? Bull, that's bull. Mu shu bao dou is male bovine fecal matter in Chinese, which my wife seems to have used that on me several times, and now I figured out what she's saying.
Imagine that. Hey. You'd be kind of proud of me if you were actually social media. You know, I was in Wyoming, and I went through Yellowstone National Park last week. And I just, it's actually the first time I've driven through the park. And it really irritated me to no end. I had to pay $35 to drive on a state highway just because it was part of the park. So anyway, I go through Yellowstone, and Hank, the mismanagement is so blatant. And I'm wondering if people driving through there actually, I don't think they do. I think they just think it's part of the forest. Look at all the trees covering this. Oh, isn't that cool? Oh, look here. This is wide open. There's no trees growing here because this fires have been so severe. It sterilized everything. You know the whole story. Well, I finally find this spot where they've got huge trees laying in the forest bed, and it's just the small young ones, you can tell, are struggling because these trees are so encumbersome to their growth, and the canopy is just it's dismal. So I get out, and I do my loose from the hip. It was about a 2-minute and 20-second video just saying, here's the problem. We don't manage the forest. We don't manage this resource. We don't utilize this lumber. And I post that, and at this moment that you and I are talking, I posted it on Thursday. 1.3 million people have viewed that. But the comments...
And they're all mad at you?
No. Most of them are in agreement. But even some of them that are in agreement, they're like, well, Trent, there's 3,200 square miles of... I don't know how big the park is. It's freaking big. But there's too many miles of trees to go pick them up. And Hank, my first response was, oh, my goodness. These people think that grandma just called them to come pick up sticks in her yard. That's not at all what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we should kill these trees before they die and put them to a consumptive use. And that whole concept was so distant to most people that they couldn't even respond properly. Now, over half the people are like, Trent, you got it. This is our problem. This is what we have happening in California. This has happened in Nevada. But you just see the video and look at these huge trees laying there for no purpose other than fuel.
And the, you know, those canopies are so jungled up. Look around. There's not much grass either. And there's
zero.
And the little trees.
Zero.
Little bitty
trees that aren't ever going to amount to anything.
No. But, you know, for how many tens of thousands of years did fire come through? The Native Americans, they set fires. All the old trees that used to come into the Edward Lumber Company mill in Burns, Oregon, the old big trees, they had fire scars on them. But when they were removed and the brush was piled up and burned in the wintertime, when the ground wouldn't be so sterilized, replanted trees, replanted grass, managed it like a wheat field. And there was wildlife everywhere. There was livestock grazing everywhere. And fires, yes, there were fires, lightning, you can't stop that. But they were not in the 100,000 acre category. Not even close. And ever since We did the Endangered Species Act and the National Environmental Policy Act in the 80s or 70s, whenever that was, and then they started instituting it and making more cottage industries. That's the reason communism will never work, is people figure it out. They figure out if you get stopped going this direction, you turn a little bit and you go this direction, and you pay off government people with something, or you ignore them. And that's what happens. The human nature is human nature, and you can't change that. And it's very unfortunate that the hierarchy of our government at this point, every indication in the world is that they have been bought lock, stock, and barrel by Mr. Winnie the Pooh, Ching Jing Ping. But his own country is totally full of capitalists trying to get ahead, trying to get something better than they had in the Cultural Revolution of the 70s, mm-hmm. where they starved to death and were 98% of rural society. Yeah, communism doesn't work. It's against human nature. It looks good on, it's like the term racist. It's like the term environment. It's like the term global warming. Cool phrases.
Oh, by the way.
Don't work.
When I bought a cup of coffee at the next stop in the park from a country store, the general store that's owned by the park system, Yellowstone National Park, it had a cover over the coffee that had eco-friendly cover. I was just laughing. What a bunch of
hippies. Wait a minute. Now, I'm too
old. Gotta go.
To keep the steam off the
We'll
coffee.
Fix your senility when we get back. Protect the harvest, continuing to protect us against communism and give you your property rights and motivate and empower people to do more. ProtectTheHarvest.com. Second half of Rural Route and Hank and his senility after this. Welcome back. Rural Route. Trent Luce alongside. Now I'm feeling guilty. Hank's not really senile. In any, no way, shape, or form is he senile. He's just not always in tune with the new trendy ways. I don't know what you call that.
And it's probably to my advantage not to have that crap follow
you know
me
what?
Around.
I 150,000% agree with you. It is to your advantage to live in a bubble and not be exposed to all of the new insanity of the world. Okay, so I don't know what you officially call that. A slip cover. Isn't it a slip cover? You know, the little thing that you slip up over the paper cup that, so you know.
Oh, yeah. It just kind of keeps you from spilling it, and there's a little tab you can pull up and drink.
No, that's the lid.
Down the road.
No, that's the lid.
Okay.
Slip cover is like a koozie if it was a beer can.
So what are you talking about?
If it was a beer can, you'd call it a koozie. In a coffee, it's just a little protective thing they slip up over so that when the heat comes from the paper cup itself doesn't burn your hand. Isn't it called a slip cover? What are they called? I don't know.
I guess. Or a hand protector. Yeah, okay, I've seen them.
Okay.
And
it's
eco-friendly?
It's eco-friendly because it's made from some recycled product. It had a little story on there about it. And I'm like, if you truly wanted to be eco-friendly in the middle of Yellowstone National Park, you'd brag about, and this came from trees that were harvested here in Yellowstone to promote a healthy environment. No, that's not what they do.
And take this home and save it and use it over and over and over again because it's a renewable natural resource. Yes. But, yeah, we cannot live like the I think they figured around 1 million people lived in the North American continent or maybe in the whole North and South American continent before Cristóbal Colón. So, but they were hunter-gatherers. Yes, there were some of them that farmed, but they burned the forest and then they farmed. I mean, but whatever that ecosystem was, there's a lot of male bovine fecal matter about that too. So we can't afford to live like that. We have to have a higher level of productivity unless we would have believed Paul Ehrlich that we're all going to be dead by now because of the population bomb. Well, okay, so we have to use management skills that replicates the same thing, but we don't have million-acre fires and things like that. That's the things we have to do. So that little cup holder, condom, should have been
cup
used
condom.
Over
yeah.
and over.
That's exactly
and over
what we
again.
Should call it, a cup condom. There you go. Now you got it.
Yeah.
Kind of. It doesn't cover the top. Just saying.
but anyhow, I mean, it's just another way of creating mm-hmm. your niche for your particular, you know, I mean, I'll bet you probably it was owned by the park, owned the property underneath it, but I'll bet you they had it farmed out to somebody. They probably, somebody had a government contract to do that. You know, why is like 80% of all the produce that was produced in the Soviet Union was produced not in their shlokovs, not in their collective farms, but on the little garden plots in the backyard that the Soviet people were allowed to have? Again, they wanted something. And how do you get it? You got to have something to sell, something to trade, something to do. Mm-hmm. And so they did it. That's human nature. You know, all that crap doesn't work. But if you got the press on your side, and if you got the right phraseology, you can even kick the president of the United States off of all the social media, and Taliban's still on there. Yeah. Can you go ahead and tell me how that is working? I'm sorry, that's just way past my mental capacity to absorb.
Yep, that's where we're at. And all you and I have ever asked for in this whole story as it relates to Yellowstone is to manage the resource. It's that simple. Just manage what's there. There is no population problem if we manage our resources properly.
99% of the people that drive through Yellowstone Parks, $35 a carload, wouldn't know if a tree fell because a beaver chewed it off or a chainsaw. They wouldn't know. And you pick that up, you clean up the forest canopy, and the little trees. I mean, I cut 800 acres of pinyon and juniper, cut them, and harvested them and sold them as wood. I did everything in the world to get the grass growing again. I had grasses that were knee high. No, it was phenomenal, the release, different browses that the deer and the elk and everything use just exploded. And oh, guess what? Hundreds of little trees. Now, I'm going, you know, I started that project in 2005. And within a very short period of time, I'm going to have to go in that 800 acres and thin out those little trees. They are now crowding out the grass, the brush, everything else. Because that's just the way nature is. Yeah. And so, I mean, yeah, get over it, get on board, and move ahead. But don't, you know, don't, there is no one size fits all. We go, Mother Nature will take care of it. Yes, she will. But, you know, she's meaner than 8 or 9 of my ex-wives.
Yeah.
I mean, she burns stuff to the ground.
I thought you only had seven. Did you acquire an extra ex? Well, I thought you had 7.
Well, anyhow, Mother Nature might be 8 or 9. I mean, it's just crazy. You can't do mm-hmm. that. Mother Nature has 10 gazillion and a half years before it's relevant, and then it is never relevant. So if she burns in August or she burns in November, it doesn't matter. You leave everything alone. You let all the ground cover pile up and all the dead trees. You have huge fires. Imagine that. Why not build houses out of it? Why do we have to import lumber from somewhere else? Why did we have to destroy all the little lumber mills and all the little towns in the West? Because people believed the male bovine fecal matter, the Mu Shu Bao Dou.
So I have another one that people are believing, and I did a video about this 2 weeks ago, and I've been contacted by an outfit from New York. No, actually Pennsylvania. And they want me to do a Zoom call with them, because I know you do Zoom calls every day. I'm just trying to keep up. But, you know, this myth is floating out there that farmers are getting paid or being threatened to have their subsidies withheld if they don't destroy crops. And there's massive farm crops being destroyed. And I did a video standing in the middle of the sorghum field close to my house. That said, this is just, again, male bovine fecal matter. I think that's the sixth time that's come across today on the air, by the way. But nobody is being paid to destroy crops. if they are, I did check with the ASCS offices, the only people who have been told to destroy any crop are those who illegally planted a crop on a CRP acreage, which has to be minuscule each and every year. And yet there are some very credible-looking people who are taken to the social media airwaves telling people that they're worried about the future. I am worried about food shortages and food risk, the infrastructure in place. But it's not because farmers are destroying crops. So I am very much looking forward
it's
to my...
because of government rules and regulations.
Absolutely.
And GMOs. You know, everything. Oh, boy. Because people like salacious comments. They're burning their crops. They're destroying them to restrict the amount that's out there so they can keep the price up. So all the farmers that illegally hold private property are getting rich. And all of the government people are going to protect you from yourself by controlling the food. And da-da-da-da-da, you can sell that to any bunch of half-baked idiots in the world. But I do have a question for you, because I do not understand CRP at all.
Uh-huh.
Now, maybe that's what where they're tying that in. Aren't you paid to not do anything with that property?
Correct.
It just turns into – does it turn into a weed patch or what? That's the same thing as putting in 30% of the United States in the conservation reserve, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Okay, so
– I don't understand it.
I don't either. And in what year was it? 1992, I bought a farm, 365 acres, that had CRP on it, and I took it out immediately. I didn't want any part of it. So you are required to mow it and maintain the weed control. You're supposed to do that. That's part of the contract. In times,
what do you do with the what you cut? Can you feed that to a cow?
Unless
if you cut it off, cut the weeds, cut the grass.
You're supposed to mow it with a device that does not allow you to bale it. Unless there's been an emergency declaration and certain regions will have a release so that you can mow and bale. In some rare occasions, I know people that were allowed to graze as well. Now, I have had in the last 2 weeks, a few people send me an email saying that my ASCS office wants some new acres into the CRP program, which absolutely, this is part of the 30 by 30. It is. It's a government-controlled issue, and it's usually for a specified amount of time, 7 or 10 years. But these people who contacted me said that the ASCS office, the USDA, is telling them that they want new acres in CRP, but there will be no restrictions on haying and grazing it. They just want to pay me to... I'm like, run fast. All they're trying to do is get you to sign the dotted line. And I said, and I'm just going to tell you straight up front, I have a bias against all government programs. I've never taken a dollar. I never will take a dollar. But from a conservation reserve program standpoint, every region of the country has a designated price that you get paid, whether that be $15 an acre or $150 an acre. I think that's a fair range. In Missouri, when I had that piece, it was $65 an acre. But there's a contract that you enter for a period of time. And it was supposed to be the original intent, Hank, was the thought process was, well, we're farming lands that are marginal for crop production. They're highly erodible or whatever the case may be. So conservation, we're going to pay people not to farm that land. And like every other government
snappy
program,
comment.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yep. That's exactly what it is. So I am very anxious to have this conversation with this young lady from Pennsylvania about 30 by 30, even though she doesn't know that's what we're going to talk about, which means it will never see the light of day.
I mean, well, yeah. How many, our dear friend and partner in crime, the redheaded lady from Lamoille, when she was secretary of the Nevada Cattlemen's Association, she would get people who would call her up about wild horses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she
hold
have
on.
Time to
hold
deal
on.
With it, so she...
We will pick it up with Rachel Pizzetti and Wild Horses from Elko County. I'm hoping that she's a new board member and in the Elko County School District. We'll find out. But first, I want to remind you, Certified Piedmontese creating opportunity for cattlemen that cattlemen have just never seen before, getting paid properly for the beef that's produced closer to the consumer's food dollar and a proper price. Details from Marlon Will at LoneCreekCattleCo.com. Back with the last segment of Rural Route after this. Welcome back, Rural Route, Trent Luce alongside Hank Vogler, as always, every Monday. You brought up Rachel Bazzetti. Why?
Well, same stuff. You were talking about newspaper reporters that come and talk to you, and then it never sees the light of day. Well, that happens to me on a regular basis. And Rachel, not having time to deal with the wild horse people, used to say, well, call this number and talk to this guy. He knows a little bit about the issue. And so I would get some girl that, and I'm not being prejudiced, but usually it was a lady, and they say most of the people that are in the wild horse support system are of the female persuasion. No problem. I like them myself. We have Violetta here that is now halter broke, so her value has just doubled. She's got a little tiny, cute little halter on. She walks around, gets in everybody's way. But anyhow, you start telling them about the gang rapes. You start telling them about the studs beating the colt to death so he can breed the mare during the foal heat. You start talking about the inbreeding, that it's the known sons of the father. And they're just astonished and shocked, and they're from New York City or they're from some city environment, and they cannot absorb that. And they're not, certainly their editor or whatever is not going to allow them to tell the truth of what is actually going on out here and the degradation of the resource and all the things. You know, the Bureau is basically in the position they want to protect themselves from lawsuits from, once again, another advocacy group that has spawned itself since the institution of the Wild Horse and Burro Act, which was a confiscation of private property in the very beginning. So nobody wants to put and stand next to the hot stove. So they just tuck it away and they throw it away and they know the truth. But you got one person, but nobody, it never sees the light of day. You're absolutely right. Well, but Rachel got off the hook by dumping it in my lap.
It's no different than, well, actually, you mentioned that she's a redhead, and she just loses composure. So she's doing self-preservation by giving that task to you. We'll find out if she's listening to me right today, won't she? Anyway, it's no different than people thinking.
Sorry, Rachel.
Well. Just, are you talking about going to Yellowstone and picking up the sticks in the yard? No, I'm not talking about picking up the sticks in the yard. I'm talking about managing the resource correctly. It's no different when managing those horses. It's all the same thing. Manage the resource accordingly.
When I was a young man and trying to make my first million, cutting those trees down, old growth trees that were porky topped out or something like that, you got paid by the stumpage. By the board foot, and everybody had a little axe with them that you kind of put your mark on the end of it. So when they scaled the logs, you got paid accordingly. If that was the contract as a Gippo logger, that's the way it worked. And, you know, we call them pumpkins. Boy, I cut some pumpkins down today. You know, we didn't cut the little trees, but then as soon as you cut it, you piled the brush, they came in. They thinned out the trees, and shazam. Mm-hmm. Within 3 years, you couldn't even tell it ever happened. And it would be the same in Jellystone National Park. Boo Boo would be all right, and Yogi would be all right. You know, they can go on killing all the other prey-based wildlife. Hey, picnic baskets. Nobody would realize what was going on until somebody brought it to their attention of how it was destroying the ecosystem. And then everybody would run for the hills. It's nuts.
We should rebirth that smoked bear campaign that the late...
Yes. Yeah, Smokey the Bear's done more damage to the wildlife, to the woods, than any other animal on this earth.
Yeah, that Grant Gerber brought to life.
He
announced that, by the way, with you and I on the air for the first time.
Yep. So, I mean, it's just, we have set aside all these wonderful ideas, all these national parks, all these wilderness areas, and go look at them. They become decadent. The trees fall down and pile up. The animals can't even hardly crawl through them. And they, where do they go? Private land. They go where they can make a living. They cannot make a living in an area that doesn't have any feed because of the density. And then shazam, Mother Nature comes along, and away it goes. It burns down. And then we had to stop grazing because we were silting up the gills of the fish. Well, when a hillside burns and a rain comes, you talk about silt going in the ditch, which has been going on for 10,000 years. So if you want to prevent this to happen, use the resource.
How do you think how do you think the San Joaquin Valley became the most fertile region of land in the world?
Mississippi Delta land.
Yeah.
Where do you think that came from? It came from upstream.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these things, gosh. But we're supposed to be the one with the opposable thumb and with the large brain because we started eating meat, according to the anthropologists. We are the ones that should be able to manage the resource. We set all this stuff aside, and we turn it into a mess. And nobody is held accountable. Trent, if you don't make enough money on your farm, you know what happens. Somebody comes along and says, you didn't make your payments this month, we're foreclosing.
Yeah.
Yeah. These people can make a mess out of things, and nobody, they are not held accountable. Nobody's held accountable for the thousands of acres that have been destroyed by the wild horses. Nobody's been held accountable for the million-acre fires. Nobody's been held accountable for all of these things. But they were all done with such noble cause, saving Mother Nature. And Mother Nature is mean, I promise you.
You know, therein lies the problem. Everybody has this romantic view of, I just love nature. You know when they love nature? They sit in their cubicle for 51 weeks a year so they can afford to go spend 1 week a year with Mother Nature. And they think that it's a romantic place. If you live with Mother Nature, you know that she's a wicked beast. She'd make anybody's mother-in-law look like a walk in the park.
Yes. Yes. One of my wives, I got married by a judge. I think I should have had a jury. But anyhow. But, yeah. And they come up over the Shelburne Pass, and they come down, ain't this beautiful? And then they're jealous of me, trying to scratch a living out of it, doing everything in the world to protect it. And they come here once hunting 1 week a year.
Yeah.
And I'm doing wrong, and they're doing right, because they have been programmed to hate private enterprise of any flavor, any form. It's just absolutely an easy lift to dump it on somebody else's lap. We're trying to save it, and they're trying to destroy it for money. Well, this is my bucket list. Took me 50 years to get here, 50 years to put something together that was viable, big enough to feed the family. And my luck has been so bad this year, if I bought a graveyard, people would stop dying.
Speaking of which, didn't you have a video auction selling your lamb crop?
Yep, $284.50.
Well, you were offered $285. See,
that's what they were. Did the brokering got? Huh?
You were offered $285.
$286. Cost me.
Oh, there you go. Your pride got in the way.
Well, absolutely. When the neighbor sells out for $303 with 10-pound heavier lambs and further away from the market than mine,
yeah,
with the exact same breeding,
yeah,
yes, I was jealous.
Nobody's got your breeding. You've got those Australian Merinos in there. Everybody should have that breeding.
Well, anyhow, I just bowed my neck and just like all, you know, the first loss is the least loss.
Mm-hmm.
More money than I've ever got in my life. I don't know in real dollars, but it's there's a lot of zeros on the money now, which, you know, it's just one of those things that you know, maybe next year it'll be better. Maybe it won't. Who knows?
That's so they're going east or west.
That's what capitalism is all about.
They're going east or west.
Well, we're not sure. We think there's another broker in the middle,
and
this the guy that claims he bought them is actually from Yuma, Arizona.
When do you deliver?
But he may be brokering for the
right. When do you ship them?
25th to the 30th of September. 25th to the 5th or 1st of October.
Oh, October.
And we haven't been in. Yeah, we haven't been informed of the date yet.
Right.
85-pound stop.
Oh.
Not stop, but that's the median price.
Yeah.
If they weigh more, the price goes down. If they weigh less, the price goes up.
Right.
So, anyhow.
All right. Well,
we'll stay tuned.
That'll be a good week to get those boogers on under wheels, wheels under them.
Oh boy. Yes, you know we're whistling past the graveyard right now just because we don't know the BLM or the Forest Service, either one, could call you up tomorrow and say you got to go, and most of the problems. And oh, the good news is they're gathering horses.
Mm-hmm.
They're gathering bunches of horses.
How's
and
that going?
So the 6,000 head. Well, they're gathering lots of horses. They claim there's 6,000 head of horses in the unit. I'm supposed to have 167, and they're gathering 2,000. So at least they're catching up with the colt crop. Oh, by the way, the ratio of studs to mares is absolutely ridiculous. It's called inbreeding. Go talk to any geneticist and tell me that this is something you're supposed to be doing.
Is it more than 50-50?
Livestock. No, it's unbelievably. It's way tipped over.
Wow.
To the stud size, or maybe it's easier to catch the studs. I have no idea. I'm going near it. I don't want, you know, there's a group of people that are hauled up there every morning to observe to see that they're being handled correctly.
You should be
and
an observer.
I went to it one time. You know, I went there one time. My dog got banished. The people from France didn't want to hear my side of the story because they could not sell any copy. I told them the truth of what was going on. So, and I turned my dog in, who was in the back of my pickup. So,
your dog was affecting them selling coffee at a horse roundup?
No. Colpi. The French guy said that he asked me all these questions, and I told him what was going on.
Copy.
We cannot sell copy. Copy. C-O-P-I-Y. So
I gotta go. I copy that. I copy that. We've journeyed down
the road. And talks to all the people, shakes hands with everybody, and is absolutely a perfect gentleman. Stays in. They put crime tape in a big square where they're sitting. Stays inside the circle. Doesn't bother anybody, you know. And the old mayor got away, and they flew the gal out from Washington, D.C., is in my house the next morning asking me questions about the mayor that got away. And, heck, I was on her side. She'd been in the trap before. She wasn't going in there again.
Yeah,
I mean,
I got to go.
Everything about
I got to go. So we've journeyed down the road, connecting rural and urban America. Both thank local and myself. Remind you that all roads do lead to a rural route. That's as fast as I can do that.